The focus of this time, the focus of this era, from Paul till now, is an expectation of glory and an expectation of Christ. In the meantime, we find ourselves as individual members of the body of Christ in different stations in life. Some of us are married, some of us are not married. Some of us have children, some of us don't have children. Some of us are gainfully employed. Some of us right now are looking for jobs. We're not doing so well. Some of us are rich, some of us are poor. But in everything, no one needs to feel deficient. No one needs to feel slighted. No one needs to feel that he and she, or she, that he or she, or he and she, or and or, are somehow falling short in our social arrangement and our family arrangement, falling short of an ideal, actually the ideal. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul says, I wish everyone would be like me. I am told, it is suggested to me, that this has changed. And now Paul wished that everyone would get married, have tons of kids, and have family picnics every day, and travel to the in-laws on Christmas, travel to the in-laws on Thanksgiving, and just throw yourselves into this life from a high dive. Just jump like these cliff divers. They just kind of throw themselves, or bungee corders. They throw themselves off an abyss, and down they go. So this is now the focus of our world, because it's far, so far off the coming of Christ. Good morning, everyone. This is Martin Zender. And of course, you know, I am promoting an expectation, a current present expectation of Jesus Christ. I don't like the situation of that basket up there. I don't like it. Something's changed in the arrangement. If you guys have been watching the laundry cam, something seems to have changed in the arrangement up there. Somebody moved the basket. I know what it is. There's usually towels in there. I don't like it. I'm going to have to change this. Hang on. This is no good. Just a second. I'll be right back. I got important things to tell you today, but this is unacceptable. I'm just going to move it for now. I'm just going to completely take it down. Maybe later I'll put it back and get some towels in there, but I'm not liking that. All right. Now, I'm going to quote from Clyde Pilkington. Am I feeling? Yeah, I'm feeling better. I'm going to quote from Clyde Pilkington's article here. Then I'm going to read you some passages from Paul's later letters, his prison epistles. Clyde Pilkington, in his article, The Current Era is Limitless. Religion has its own list of what it suggests are the effects of a spirit-filled life. But here, Paul lets us see exactly what spiritual life looks like in our day. According to Clyde, who is saying this is in accord with Paul, this is what spiritual life looks like. Back to the article, quote, unlike Paul's earlier instructions, you know, when he says to hold loosely on stuff, you know, Paul's earlier instructions in 1 Corinthians 7 to rejoice as not rejoicing, don't mourn like you're mourning, hold loosely onto things. No, unlike Paul's earlier instructions, domestic life has now moved front and center, domestic life. That's the focus of our era, according to Clyde Pilkington. Quote, the focus of our era is marriage, parenting, and employment, all done from melodious hearts, always giving thanks for all things. End quote. We talked about this era being an era of the grace of God. I'm going to give you some more verses on that. But first, along this line of the focus of our era, now, as compared to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, back in the old days, when Paul was talking to a previous administration and a different body of Christ, mainly Israelites, he had advice to not be totally in love with this world. But now that the coming of Christ is possibly 10,000 years off, we jump headfirst into this world and use it up. I completely disagree. I think this is dangerous advice. I think it is, well, I'll stop there. It's dangerous advice, and I'm going to convince you not to think this way. I'm going to convince you that Clyde is wrong about where he thinks the current era is. And again, this is important to your faith and your peace. In Ephesians 1:12, this is a later letter of Paul, what Clyde would call the epitome of Paul's revelation in grace. In verse 12 of chapter 1, Paul says, this, that we should be for the laud of his glory who are pre-expectant in the Christ. An expectancy. We are pre-expectant. What are we expecting? Grace and glory. We're actually expecting glory. We're expecting to get out of here. That's our expectation. And it remains our expectation from the minute Paul announced it to the Thessalonians. Thessalonians being an early letter. Ephesians 4:13. Ephesians now. Paul talks of the upbuilding of the body of Christ unto the end that we should all attain to the unity of the faith and of the realization of the sons of God to a mature man, to the measure of the stature of the complement of Christ, that we may by no means still be minors, surging hither and thither and being carried about by every wind of teaching, by human caprice, by craftiness with a view toward the systematizing of the deception. I guess what I'm getting at here is that when the body of Christ is built up, we look for unity of the faith and a realization of the Son of God. This belongs to maturity, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The fullness of Christ. Christ is the focus of any era, whether we're married or not. Now, another so-called prison epistle, Philippians 1:23, a late letter written by Paul, many believe, from jail. Paul says, even at this late date in his life, when, according to our friend Clyde, Paul would have been aware that there was could be 10,000 years left. But, you know, there was at this time at least 2,000 years remaining, yet this is what Paul says. He talks about what is desirable to him. He talks about, for me to be living is Christ. I'm in verse 21 of Philippians 1. Paul says, to be living is Christ, to be dying is gain. In what way is dying gain? We know death is the absence of life. It would be gain for the cause. Paul would be heralded as a martyr. So in that sense, it would be gain. Now, if it is to be living in flesh, this to me means fruit from the work. Paul wants to keep on living because he gets fruit. If he died, he would rest from his labors and the work would continue. But of course, he knew that he loved doing the work and that many more would come to Christ through him. Here's the point. If it is to be living in flesh, this to me means fruit from work. For what I shall be preferring, I am not making known. He has two choices here, living or dying. Living or dying. Which? He says, I'm not going to tell you what I prefer, yet I am being pressed out of the two. I'm being pressed out of these two choices into a third thing, and that is I have a yearning for the solution and to be together with Christ, for it rather is much better. So he doesn't want death, because that's the absence of life. There's no praise of God in death. Life is a pain in the ass, so, you know, he knows he's going to get fruit from his work. That's okay. But he has a third option, and that is to be with the Lord, to be together with Christ, for that is much better. These are inspired words by Paul. To be together with Christ, that's much better than living. It's much better than living. Living is great. Having families is great. Having a picnic basket like the one you see here, going to Yellowstone Park with your 10 kids. It's wonderful. Paul wanted to live so that he could bring people into the body of Christ. Yet there was another thing. Even at this mature part of his life, this ultra spiritual Paul at the end of his life, he says, I'm preferring a third thing. And it's much, much better than living. It's better than living. He puts forward two choices. What do I want? What do I want? Let's see. Do I want to live and continue to have fruit? Do I want to die and give myself a nice long dirt nap and the cause would still be furthered because I'd be martyred? No. He says, I'm pressed out of the two. I'm pressed out of both choices, living and dying, because there's something even better than living in the flesh. That's what he's talking, not just living, but living in the flesh. Living in the flesh. Now, if it is to be living in flesh, that's verse 22. This to me means fruit from work. That's okay. The dirt nap is okay too if I have to go that route, because then at least I can quit getting beaten by the frickin' Jews. Okay, but no, listen. He's being pressed out of the two. He has a yearning a yearning for the solution. The solution to his problem of which one do I pick, death or life? And here it is. I'm being pressed out of the two, yearning for the solution. Here it is. To be together with Christ. To be together with Christ. That's what he wants above all other things. And yet we are told by Clyde Pilkington, our brother, that this is a mistaken disposition, that this disposition is antagonistic to Paul's later message. And yet I am reading from Paul's later message. In his early message, he talked about having wives but not having them. It's almost like he's talking about, like, you're in life and you're enjoying life, but you're sort of like realizing that life could change. You go out and you buy, but you don't retain, right? 1 Corinthians 7, buying as not retaining. Using the world, yes, but not using it up. In other words, holding it lightly. Why? Because of what he's saying in the book of Philippians, a late letter. And what he's saying in the book of Philippians, as he said, there's something I would much rather have than life in the flesh, even if that life in the flesh means fruit from work, and that is to be together with Christ. He called it yearning, yearning. If you are yearning, it's not that you want to escape. I would never accuse you of escapism. Clyde is accusing you of wanting to escape, of forgetting the things that are important now in this life. The centerpiece, how does he say it? The focus is marriage, family, and employment. What? Some people are married, some people aren't. What if you're not married? You're missing the focus. You're missing the focus. No, if you're not married, if you don't have kids, you don't feel slighted, don't feel like you're missing the boat on some great spiritual calling of today. It is a calling, but the most spiritual calling is to be relatively unfettered by the ties of this world. Paul wishes that his condition would be for everyone. And here in a later letter, the epitome of spirituality is this willingness to, even if you are attached, even if you do have dependents, even if you do have dogs and cats and parakeets and children and grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren, you are longing for, as Paul says here, to be together with Christ. And what do you know? That's exactly what he says in 1 Thessalonians. When he talks about the snatching away of the body of Christ. And thus we shall be ever together with the Lord. That's the idea when Christ comes for us in the clouds. And thus we'll be ever together with the Lord. And that's what he was longing for. Oh, but that's an early letter. Yeah, that's an early letter. And this is a later letter. And they're both saying the same freaking thing. That the mature heart. I have more of these verses. I got more of these verses from Paul's ultra-spiritual later letters. Yes, when he has supposedly got himself comfortable. You might as well get yourself comfortable here, ladies and gentlemen, because we're in it for the long haul. No, no, no. You are to not be comfortable here. If anybody is comfortable here, there is a problem. You shouldn't be really comfortable here. If you are, then I suggest that you are not longing, yearning to be with Christ. Because in order to be with Christ, there's one thing that's going to make that happen, and that is the snatching away of the body of Christ. Away. Do you hear the word there? Away. We shall be snatched away. Many people are alarmed by that word, even members of the body of Christ. I don't want to go away. I have many responsibilities here. Don't you think God knows that? He knows your responsibilities. He knows your loved ones. He loves your loved ones more than you do, as I've been saying, as I will continue to say. It's important to talk about these things because we're looking at an era unlike any era that's ever been. We're at the end of that era, the current era, Paul calls it. We're still in that era. I'm going to show you that. I know it may seem like overkill, but there's new light coming here from a later letter of Paul that he's still longing for the same thing he was longing for 40 years before. That is to be with Christ. To be with Christ, even though he knows that there's much benefit to be had in the flesh to keep living. But there's one thing better. and even much better, and that is the presence of the Lord.